Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance for them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of the shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion of Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. David asked the men standing near him,
"What will be done for this man who kills the Philistines and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God?"
When Eliab, David's eldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked,
"Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle."
"Now what have I done? Can I even speak?"
He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the man answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul,
"Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him."
Saul replied,
"You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth."
"Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine.
Go, and the Lord be with you."
Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on the sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he had not got used to them.
"I cannot go in these because I'm not used to them."
So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling on his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David,
"Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?"
And the Philistine cursed David by his gods.
"Come here," he said, "and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals."
"You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or by spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands."
Thank you so much. I think Andy's still got his head as he goes back to join Jane and the rest of the family. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, Lord, we thank you for your words. Lord, we thank you for this very familiar story that many of us have known from childhood. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would speak to us through this story today. Lord, that we would hear not so much me speaking, but you speaking, Lord, into each of our lives as we face 2026. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you come here regularly, you will know that I'm going through a series in 1 Samuel called Ordinary People, Extraordinary God. And we're looking at how our extraordinary God uses and calls the most ordinary people to accomplish his extraordinary plans and purposes. Last time we were looking at David the shepherd boy, and we were looking at faith and integrity. Today we're looking at really a New Year message, and I've entitled it Facing the Giants of 2026. Facing the Giants of 2026 from this familiar story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. None of us know at this present time what we may face in 2026. 2026 is unknown to us. In fact, only a few days ago at the turn of the year, who would have thought all that would be going on in Venezuela and Iran and all the different things that Trump's takeover of the world seems to be on its way. You know, it's amazing how quickly things can change. Politically, internationally, nationally, in our families, in our own individual lives. What I can guarantee here today is that no one here will have a completely trouble-free year, because we live in the real world. You know, that is the reality. None of us will have a completely trouble-free year. Do come to me at the end of the year if you feel you've had a completely trouble-free year. I might struggle to believe you, because most of you will have been calling out to the Lord in prayer for something or another, for a member of the family or whatever. None of us will have a year of no worries, no stress, no anxieties, no troubles, no temptations, no health scares, no relationship stresses, no financial concerns, no illnesses, no deaths in our families. We live in the real world. The new year is only 11 days old. But I guess that some of us are already facing some giant issues in your life, in your family maybe, in your workplace, in your finances because you spent too much money at Christmas, or in your relationships, whatever it may happen to be. And you may be facing giants even now, just 11 days into 2026, that at the present time you cannot see a way round, a way over, a way through those problems. They seem impossible. Well, back in 1 Samuel 17, the nation of Israel, King Saul and the army were facing a giant problem. Their giant problem was that they were facing defeat. They were in a stalemate. For weeks, they had been goaded and mocked by this giant enemy. They were demoralized. They had no faith. They had no hope of victory. They were staring defeat and destruction and death in the face. And there is so much that we can learn about facing our 2026 giants from the story of David and Goliath in 1:17. First of all, first lesson, be full of faith and confidence in God as you go into 2026. You see, King Saul had lost his faith and confidence in God. We know from earlier chapters in the Bible that he used to be full of faith. He used to be fearless in the face of the enemy. But his confidence in God has been eaten away. And you know, when our confidence and our faith in God can be eaten away, King Saul's confidence and faith in God had been eaten away by sin. It had been eaten away by disobedience in his life. He's grappling with depression and defeat in his life. He has grieved the Holy Spirit, and he's lost the Spirit's anointing on his life. And the king's loss of confidence in God affects the whole nation. The army is affected by the king's loss of confidence. They are weak, they are demoralized, they are lacking in faith. They're left pushing and shoving each other forward to have a go at Goliath. You know, they're all scared of Goliath. And it's a bit like the playground bully. You know, people are holding back and they're pushing and shoving. You have a go. Why don't you have a go? No, I'm not having a go. No, I'm too scared. You have a go. You have a go. And that's what's going on there. They're all scared. You know, if you, at the beginning of 2026, if you've lost your faith and confidence in God, if you're no longer trusting in the Lord, if you're living in disobedience and doubt, it will affect not just you, it will affect your whole family. It will affect everyone around you because it will create a crisis of confidence in your family and in your community. And tragically, that is what has happened to so much of the church in the United Kingdom today. The leaders of the church in the United Kingdom, so many of the churches, so much of the church in the United Kingdom have lost confidence in God. They've lost confidence in God's words. They're no longer trusting in the Lord. They're disobeying God's word. Some of them are living in sin. They've lost their spirit anointing. So it's no wonder the church in the United Kingdom is demoralized and weak and declining and dying, because that is what happens when we lose our faith and our confidence in God. And so it's so vital at the beginning of this year that our faith, our confidence is in the sovereign Lord God Almighty, because we can do nothing without him. We can do nothing without him. The teenage David is such a contrast to King Saul. He's only the errand boy. It's quite funny, this story, really. You know, he's bringing sandwiches and supplies for his older brothers, probably jollof rice rather than sandwiches because they weren't English. But, you know, he's just bringing, you know, the jollof rice and a bit of refreshments for his brothers there, who are the adult men, the proud soldiers, the ones who are wearing the armor, the ones who've got swords. David is young, he's inexperienced in warfare, he's inexperienced in swordsmanship, but David is full of faith and confidence in the Lord God Almighty. He has experienced God. He has an experience of the Lord God Almighty. He has an experience of the Holy Spirit. He has experienced God giving him victory over the bear and the lion. As he's been looking after his father's flocks, he's been out in the fields, and the flocks have been attacked by a lion and a bear. And David, even as a teenage boy, has taken them on, and he's gained the victory, not by his own strength, but through the Lord's. Rather than being eaten alive by the bear or the lion, he has not eaten them alive, but he's killed them. He's grabbed them by their hair, it says, and he's killed them. He's spent time, hasn't he, with God on the hills around Bethlehem. He's already written beautiful psalms and songs about God. He's freshly anointed and full of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Samuel has already been and anointed this forgotten youngest son and is anointed to become the future king of Israel. He is fearless. His faith and confidence is in the Lord. And we need to be like David, not like King Saul in 2022. John wants us to be full of faith and confidence in the Lord as we face the giants of 2026. But be aware, some people won't like your faith and confidence in the Lord. They won't like it. David's brothers were offended by their kids' brothers' confidence and faith. They tried to belittle him. They tried to put him in his place. They tried to mock him. He was only a youth. He was only an errand boy. They resented his faith. They resented his confidence. They accused David. Eliab accuses David of being proud, of conceited, even wicked. He calls him wicked for usurping his position in the family. I'm the youngest son. I've got older brothers, much older brothers than a sister. And you know, it's so easy, isn't it, to look down on your kid brothers and sisters. It's so easy to look down on them. And you know, we can do that within the church. We can end up looking down on those who are younger or those who are newer in the faith or those who haven't yet had much experience. But they may be the ones who are full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, and are going to do greater exploits for God than we will ever do. As you face the giants of 2026, know who you are as a Christian. Be confident in who you are as a Christian. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ the Lord. Listen to Jesus, not to those who will try to pull you down or dismiss your faith or destroy your confidence. Who are you going to listen to in 2026? Are you going to listen to what the Lord says you are? You're a child of God. Or are you going to listen to those who say you're nothing? You're a nobody. You're a failure. You're a disaster. Make sure that you're listening to the right voices. You know, so many of us are affected and pulled down by listening to the wrong voices in our lives. We need to listen to the Lord's. We need to put our trust and our faith in Him, not in what other people think of us. It's so important that our faith and our trust is in what the Lord thinks of us. And praise God that although we're sinners, He has died on the cross. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He loves you. If you've repented of your sin and believed in Jesus Christ, you are a precious child of God. You are a prince and a princess of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. That's who you are. Stand tall, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. So says Peter. It's so important that we understand who we are in Christ. You know, those of us who have been Christians for years, we need to be very careful that we don't discourage or belittle a younger or a newer Christian who's full of faith and confidence in the Lord. Be very careful not to criticize or to mock a Christian brother's or sister faith or devotion or zeal or service for the Lord. Yeah, they may not have got everything right. Yeah, they may be a bit OTT. They may have many things yet to learn. But let's not pull down. Let's not pull down what God is doing in someone's life. Let's be encouraging them. Don't criticize, don't mock or criticize a Christian brother or sister. Don't mock their faith, their devotion, their zeal, or their service for the Lord. You know, if someone is very nervously coming up here, maybe, and just doing a service to the Lord, or maybe they're just for the first time welcoming people, don't go up to them and criticize them. What they're doing, encourage them. You know, because so many can end up giving up. Because of our words. It's so important. David was belittled and mocked by his own brothers, by his own family. And sadly, so often it is Christian brothers and sisters who are the greatest discouragement to faith-filled, confident Christians. We need to examine ourselves. We need to examine our attitudes and words to other believers? Am I an encourager or discourager of faith in God? Am I an encourager or discourager of new or younger Christians? Do my words encourage or discourage a fellow believer who is faithfully trying to serve and honor the Lord? In 2026, be full of faith and confidence in the Lord. Don't listen to those who want to pull you down, belittle you, criticize you, or mock you. And then secondly, when you're facing the giants of 2026, don't let anyone squeeze you into their mold. King Saul tried to make David wear his armor. I'm sure that when David put on that armor, he looked great. He looked really impressive in Saul's armor. But it was not his armor. He was not used to wearing armor. He'd never worn armor before. He was restricted by it. He couldn't move freely. David hadn't needed armor when he fought the bear and the lion. He didn't need armor to fight Goliath. He just needed his faith and confidence in the Lord and the strength and the equipment and the gifts that God had given him experience with. You know, all that David needed was his trusty sling and one smooth pebble. That's all he needed. He took some other things with him. He took his staff to steady himself down the hillside because Goliath was in the valley between the two hills. He took his shepherd's bag to hold the smooth pebble and four other smooth pebbles he collected just in case there were four other giants hiding behind Goliath. You know, it's always good to be prepared for more than one, isn't it? And David went prepared for more than one. But he actually only needed one sling and one round stone. He didn't have to try again. He didn't have to use all five. Goliath was a terrifying and threatening physical giant. But he was no match for the diminutive teenage David. And David was only a teenager. He was just a boy at this time, but he was a boy who was an awesome spiritual giant. You see that? Yeah, Goliath may have been huge and mighty and roaring his threats, but David was just tiny. But he was a spiritual giant. And the spiritual giant was far greater than the physical giant. And you know, the physical, the spiritual, what God is doing spiritually in our life is far greater than any physical obstacle and enemy that you will face in 2026. Yes. Have confidence in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. Not in the giants. Not in the physical giants. If your faith and confidence is in the Lord, no giant that comes against you in 2026 will remain standing. Praise God. What does Isaiah 54:17 say? No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, who loves that? Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. You see, it's not about your righteousness and how good you feel about yourself. It's not about how wonderful you've conquered sin. It's because your righteousness comes from God, not from yourself. And that comes from faith and confidence and trust in the Lord. No weapon that's formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. It's what the Lord says about you, not about what other people say about you, or what you say about yourself. You know, some of the biggest problems is that we condemn ourselves. Now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because our righteousness comes from the Lord. If you have faith and confidence in God to face the giants you will face in 2026, you don't need someone else's armor or experience. Don't let anyone else try to squeeze you into their way of doing things. Don't be restricted by man-made rules and policies and procedures. And I know we need policies today, but you know, sometimes the greatest enemy to the work of God is policies and procedures and man-made rules. Don't be hampered by the well-meaning advice of counselors and advisors and doctors and Google searches. You know, Google searches are a nightmare, aren't they? You know, you have a few symptoms, a few pains. You put those pains and symptoms into Google and, you know, you discover you're terminally ill. You've only got a headache, but oh my goodness, it's probably a brain tumor by Google searches. You know, you've had it. Don't believe Google searches. Put your faith and trust and confidence in the Lord's. Prophets and apostles and even pastors, you know, don't, you know, some people just plug in to TBN or whatever and you know, oh, the prophet said this or the apostle said that. Well, you know, they may have got it wrong. Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord directly, because he can speak to you. He can speak to you. You know, we can end up treating prophets and apostles and even pastors like horoscopes. You know, we really can. Oh, they said that. That means, you know, all the thousands of people who watch and listen have all got the same problem. You know, but, oh, they must be true because they've said it. You know, don't believe that. You don't need those things. All you need is faith and confidence in the Lord and confidence in God's calling and leading and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which is why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we go into 2026. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible commands, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be filled with everything else. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of wisdom. He's the Holy Spirit of discernment. He gives us discernment, what is from him and what is not from him. And we need that so much. And remember your past experiences of God. You know, it's so important to look back and see all the way in which God has led you. Now, on the basis of what God has brought you through in the past, you can face the future with confidence, can't you? It's your experience. That's your experience. No one can take that away from you. If you've got a testimony of what God has done in your life, no one can take that away from you. That's the power of testimony, of what God has done in your life. No one can take away from you the victories you've seen in the past. For David, it was over the lion and the bear, and he is the one who can give you victory again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So thirdly, the battle belongs to the Lord. Praise God. David, in verse 45... David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all of you, into our hands." Praise God. However big, tall, strong, terrifying, threatening Goliath was, he does not stand a chance. Do you realize that? He doesn't stand a chance. He has insulted Israel. He was insulted himself that Israel has sent a mere boy with a staff and sling to fight against him. But he did not realize that that despised boy was coming against him in the name of the Lord Almighty. David was representing the same God that parted the Red Sea and gained the victory over the world superpower of Egypt. That's who God was. That's who David was representing. Goliath was a nobody. Goliath didn't realize that he would be fighting not David, but the Lord God Almighty, and his defeat was guaranteed. Do you know Goliath could have been 50 feet tall, armed with a machine gun, and he still wouldn't have won? It would have made no difference, because David's stone would still have reached its spot. You see, Goliath was standing for everything that was ungodly. He was standing for everything that was immoral, everything that was rebellious. The battle was the Lord's, and Goliath had to fall. However big, strong, tall, terrifying, threatening the giants you will face in 2026 are, come against them in the name of the Lord God Almighty. It's so, so important. We come against them in the name of the Lord God Almighty. If you're dealing with a demonic thing, come against it simply. You don't have to shout and scream and jump up and down. Come against it in the name of the Lord God Almighty, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and the demon has to flee. Praise God. Don't try and fight them in your own strength. You will never win. Don't think you've got to win the battle first and then come to God. You know, if you're battling addiction, whether it's drugs or alcohol or food or pornography or money or gambling or immorality, don't try and win the battle first before coming to God, because you'll never win it. Repent of your sin. Come against them, or come against it, in the name of the Lord God Almighty, because he is the God of victory. Praise God. He is the God of victory. The victory is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. The victory is the Lord's. Goliath represented the Philistines, who were an immoral nation. They lived by the sword. They were marauders, a bit like the Vikings that we hear of in the past and that affected this country. We probably mostly come from them. The Philistines committed murder, rape, multiple atrocities as they pillaged Israel. They were a marauding tribe, if you like. And verse 26 makes it very clear that God's honor is at stake in this battle. Goliath is defying God. Godlessness was epitomized by the giant Goliath. He was mocking God. He was mocking God's people. He was laughing in the face of God. He didn't think he needed God. He trusted in his own strength, his own might, his own size, his own power, his own armor, his own massive sword. He didn't need God. David was totally dependent on God. Only God could give him the victory. Apart from God, David could do nothing. David's trust and faith and confidence was in the Lord, not himself. And as you face the giants in 2026, it is only God who can give you the victory. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That was about 10 people who know that verse. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. And we need to believe that, and we need to live on the truth of that in 2026. How much faith and trust and confidence do you have in the Lord as you go into 2026? Are you still trying to fight your battles in your own strength? Put your faith and trust and confidence in the Lord, because he alone is the one who can bring you victory. In 2026, God wants you and me to be filled with faith and confidence and courage in the Lord, to see victory over godlessness in our own lives, in our communities, in our city, and in our nation. Amen? It means that we need to be radically different for Jesus. It means that we need to dare to be different for Jesus as Daniel dared to be different. It means fighting against immorality and injustice and abuse and criminality. It means being full of faith. It means being full of the Holy Spirit. It means being full of confidence in our God, courageously stepping out of our comfort zones, because the battle is the Lord's and the victory is the Lord's. And finally, the glory is the Lord's. The glory is the Lord's. God's name was glorified and his kingdom extended through David's victory over Goliath. The Philistines and godlessness was pushed back. God's people advanced. But you know, it's bigger than that. In verse 46, David says to Goliath, "The whole world will know there is a God in Israel." You know, David's words have been incredibly fulfilled. 3,000 years ago, David gave those words. Do you know, yesterday, I'm not into football, but I did hear that there was the greatest upset in FA Cup history. Macclesfield knocked out Crystal Palace, I believe. If you didn't know that, sorry, I've just spoiled your weekend. And do you know what the BBC said? It was a David and Goliath situation. It was a David and Goliath situation. 3,000 years since David conquered Goliath, and the whole world knows the story. The whole world knows the story. Isn't that incredible? Wherever you go, people will talk, and it's become part of our daily language. You know, I'm sure the BBC commentator didn't have much idea that when they said it was David and Goliath, and when people talk about David and Goliath situations, they forget the details of the story, but they're referring to God's victory over Goliath and how the impossible odds were fulfilled. So David says to Goliath, 3,000 years ago, the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. The glory has gone to God. It went to God then, and it's been going to God ever since, praise God. Which is why in this church, I always love when we're worshipping God to be able to point my hands upwards and point out it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about the church. The glory, all the glory, goes to God because it is God who has done it. It's God who has won the victory. As you face the giants of 2026, be confident in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Don't let anyone squeeze you into their mold. Be unique. Be the person that God has called you to be. Because the battle, the victory, and the glory is the Lord's. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Father God, Lord, we thank and we praise you that, Lord, as we put our faith and our trust in you, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you are the God of victory, that you are the God of glory, that the battle belongs to the Lord's. Lord, as we face all the giants that we may face in this coming year of 2026, help us to put our trust and our confidence in the Lord God Almighty. Lord, help us not to allow other people to squeeze us into their molds. But Lord, help us to be a prince or a princess of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, with the anointing of your Holy Spirit be upon us. Lord, that we may accomplish victory, Lord, in the valleys of 2026. Lord, that we may accomplish victory over the giants that we may face in this coming year. But Lord, we thank and we praise you that the battle is the Lord's. It's not our battle. The victory is the Lord's, it's not our victory. Lord, the glory is the Lord's, it's not our glory, because all the glory goes to you. Lord, we thank and we praise you. Lord, we worship you together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.